Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Well, grab your Bibles and smack somebody. No, so don't do that. Don't do that. Just show somebody beside you that you got your word. There we go. There's phones flying everywhere now. What I'd like to do is, I believe in the wonder of a generous heart, and that's a great word today because I think that that's that sense of when we do it out of compulsion, right? Then we just miss something. I think when we do it out of that love and care, and I love to see it when there's nothing that blesses me any more than when a kid, without being having to be instructed, as you say, just turns to somebody else and they just encourage them. They say something good. They take something from themselves and they invest it into that other kid over there. And I tell you, it is crazy what happens when somebody does that. And all of us have that opportunity to just take a piece of us and to invest it into somebody else all around us every day and to be generous with what happened. What a wonderful word there. I would like to speak to you a little bit this morning, and I'm probably going to go in a bit of a, let's just watch my words this morning. We are going in a good direction this morning, and I believe a God direction this morning. Grab your Bibles and go over with me. We're going to go to Mark chapter, we'll be moving around a little bit, but Mark chapter 4. And if you hold it there, this is the parable of the sower. And right now in this world that we live in, it's been alluded different times and we've talked about it different things, but that the sense of discouragement and depression and all of these things, they are rampant everywhere we look. But today what I'd like you to do, I would like to talk to you about, even in the sense of to me, the value that I received out of this passage of scripture that spoke to me about life. Let me tell you a beginning of a story, and I'm going to try to stay on my notes because I think I have a fair bit today to share, but a story. Have you ever been in an absolutely amazing service with the presence of God was just so very, very thick? Well, everybody should put your hand up because we just went through one, right? So that sense, though, of that at times, though, you've been where it's just the tangible presence of God. It's so incredibly amazing. And there was a day, this would be probably now close to, 20 years ago, maybe 20 plus years ago. I was at this church, and a large church, and I was one of the pastors there. And we had just one of those services where God just began to break in. And there was so many incredible things beginning to happen. The sense of seeing restoration happen right in the middle of the service. And people reconnecting and reconnecting with God and reconnecting with one another. And just reconnecting with purpose and mission. And there was just everywhere. You could turn to anybody in the room and they may tell you that they experienced or received a totally different thing. And it had, at times, some of them had to do with the word that was preached, and sometimes it had nothing to do with what was preached, but what they had received. But I know that we're just in one of those services, and everybody was impacted, and we went out afterwards, and we were on our way home, and we had something else to do. I don't remember the specifics of it, but I rarely go to the Colonel. I rarely go to KFC, okay, in there. But at that time, we went to KFC, and I walked in, and my family was still in the vehicle. I walked in, and one of the ladies from our church was in front of me in line. And we had just come. It's like, wasn't that an amazing service? That's just awesome. And she got up to the counter, and she ordered. And then, of course, I put in my order, and there was nobody else there but us. And I was just standing and waiting, and we were 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 waiting. And then we waited some more, and we waited some more, and we waited some more. I think I probably could have gone and got a chicken. And it was so, I mean, it was just so much waiting. And as I watched, I could remember it like it was yesterday, this lady turned to this young girl at the counter and just took strips off of her because it was late, because it wasn't happening. She just tore into her. And I have no idea if that lady, that young lady behind the counter, heard the two of us talking about the amazing service that we were just in. I got no idea whether she saw that. But I can remember being so grieved. And she rushed around and she got her food and she left. And she walked out the door and she went on. And I turned around and I, with trying to watch myself in the sense of to not be judgmental, not be accusational, not be any of those things, but just turn to this lady and I said, please forgive me. And she's like, what are you talking about? You didn't do anything in there. And I said, please forgive me. And I didn't know whether she knew that we were together. I didn't know she knew that I was a pastor. I didn't know what the representation was, but I said, nobody should be spoken to that in that way. Please forgive me. And I began to share with her and talk with her. And she was again, a little bit confused of why I was accepting responsibility. I didn't go into the details with her, but by the time we were done, she was feeling a lot better in that moment. But I remember walking out and this person is not new in Christ. This person that was there, she knew Christ before I was born because I've known these people, some of them since, and this particular person since I was a baby. And she's been walked with the Lord. If you say she's been in church for all of those times. And again, I'm trying to watch myself today. I'm trying to walk this little road here because that I don't want to sound accurate. How many of you have failed? How many of you have made similar mistakes? Something along, maybe not to the degree, but you've just like totally messed it up and realized, oh my, what did I just do? But in this moment, what I'm talking about is maturity. That in the world that we live in right now, that we are called to maturity in Christ. It is not an option. Everybody say it's not an option. We have to grow. And one of the things I realize is that when I was beginning to struggle deeply with depression, the Lord talked to me about something. And I need you to hear me before everybody look at me if you're not looking at me right now. If you're struggling, if you're at home and you're struggling with these things, there are different levels. There are different times. Sometimes you're stuck in such a hole that you can't hear what anybody says. In fact, you know, I've talked to you about this, that time that I was stuck and Pastor Gary says, you need to watch this video. It's just awesome. And this particular prophetic person just offended me to the core. And I was just like, so ticked off. I was in a hole. I wasn't in a good place. But in that time, God met me there. And he said to me, he said, you want to get out of this? I got a word for you, Rod. You want to get out of this? I got a word for you. Remember I shared this and we were all waiting in anticipation that my word must have been something that you could write books about. And his word to me was be helpful. Begin, be helpful. But as I have walked with him and understand what this meant, it's actually about the fact of to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. To begin the process of becoming healthy. Do you know that you will not become healthy automatically? Do you know that you will not stay healthy automatically? If you are in a place of health right now, just put up your hand if you're in a place of health right now. You're just so grateful. Come on, we just need to celebrate that. Come on. That's awesome. To be in a place of health right now, you're just like, man, alive. Now if you're not in a place of health, I'm not asking you to put up your hand in the midst of this. But I know that that is not just simply by accident that you're in a place of health. As I well know that it's not by accident that I was in a place not very healthy. But there was no judgment on either side, and I need you to hear me then this morning. But as I walk you through the soils that we talk about here in Mark, I want you to see the significance of the things that are in there to help us walk into maturity and into walk into life. The first thing I want to say to you this morning is this: growth in the kingdom is essential. It is absolutely essential. Are you ready to grow? Come on now, are you ready to grow? Yeah. So I'm gonna just be blunt, how do we grow? Do we grow when we're on our own by ourselves? Or do we grow when we're just so busy we don't know what to do? It doesn't work that way. Growth is intentional. Everybody say, growth is intentional. You got to be intentional to grow. If you look, I remember when COVID started and I just felt like the Lord said to me, do you want to learn something new? And I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, and everything else. And I learned in those moments, and not a praise to me, but I learned how to do Photoshop better. I learned then how to do AI. And if you don't know what Illustrator is, it is the most confusing program unless you know how to use it around. Went through that, then learned to do Character Animator. But you know that I was spending 8 to 9 hours a day at times learning this thing. I was then taking my Saturdays and different other times and going through and learning and learning and learning and learning. Karen would come in the door at times, knock on the door, be like, you still alive in there? It's like, yeah, I'm growing, I'm learning. But it was intentional. You hear me? It was intentional. In the kingdom, we have to become intentional about our growth. Do you know that you need to be mature? Come on now, you've got to be mature. We need maturity in Christ. We need to be mature ones in God. Why? Because here's the thing for me is that when I walk in a level of immaturity, when something happens, I get knocked over. Anybody like that? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Do you? Maybe you're not like me, but I can be as mature as anything in one thing and then like the other thing, not at all. You know what I'm talking about? Like one thing, I got one thing down. Okay, in there, I'm going with this thing, and then there's like seven that I don't. See, this is a process of saying, Lord, I'm ready to learn. Lord, I'm ready to grow. Lord, I'm ready to walk with you. But see, walking with you is not something that doesn't have intentionality. It is something, listen to this, maturity does not equal age in the kingdom. Get that, write that down, make it a poster. Okay, in the kingdom of God, age does not equal maturity. Not even the age that how long you have known Christ. That does not equal maturity with God. Now, again, you could sit there and go, oh boy, pastor's on a rant here. Let's just step back just a little bit, see what's going on. Do not receive it that way. I am sitting there with all of these fingers pointing back at me and saying, Lord, I need to grow. I need to become mature. I don't want to be the same person in 5 years. You with me? But you know what? If unless I do something different, I'm going to be exactly the same person. I may even have less in certain areas if I don't be intentional about my growth. Intentionality means is that I have to make decisions. I have to make decisions of some things. I have to start to equate value to things. That is such an important thing within the body of Christ. And for me, when I was dug in that hole deeply, I couldn't even see here and there. Those were not, I needed to spend time. I needed to be with the Lord, but I needed to be specific. I needed to attend, put value on things because the truth is I couldn't do a lot. I couldn't do a lot of different things, but I chose here are the things that I'm going to place value on because I have got to grow and I've got to get out of this thing. Are you with me? So the question I think for all of us is that what are those things? And that's a journey as you begin to grow and you begin to walk with. And sometimes it's difficulty because I want to say yes to everything. Anybody else in here like that? Get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. I want to say yes to everything. My heart just breaks for things. I want to say yes. And when I say yes, and when I say yes and I fill a position and then I have to say no, wow, that hurts everything. And so the idea in this, though, is we need to become intentional. Do you know that you're good ground? Come on now, you're good ground. We're not here. I am not here to decide whether you're good ground or not. I declare because Christ is in you, you are good ground. And you are ready for change and you are ready for transition. In all of these things, when I look at this parable, this is the one thing that God began to talk to me and show me the most was don't blame the ground if you're not working it. Don't blame the ground if you're not working it. Don't blame God if you're not working the ground. Because there is this sense, and I'm not talking about my salvation. I cannot work for my salvation, but from my salvation, the maturity that I walk through, I have to work. Do you know that when I am struggling, the last thing I want to do is to be encouraging? You're like, you? Yes, me. In fact, if I'm really bad, if I'm really grumpy, I mean, Karen just decides that I need a vacation and I need to be, no, she doesn't. She loves me very dearly. But the idea in this is that I'm not all that encouraging in those moments. And I realize that, you know what? Just to be an encourager is going to take W-O-R-K. It's going to take work in that moment. We're really good at it when it's natural, aren't we? When we're like, wow, this is awesome. You feel the atmosphere. Let's go. I want to go prophesy over that one, prophesy over this one, encourage this one. But when the atmosphere is, come on now, you know what I'm talking about. We just go, That is when I have to fight. That's when in that moment I have to go, okay, hang on a second here. I am going to press in this moment that I don't want to do this. Do you know that when you, if you're struggling, the last thing you'll probably want to do is read your Bible? Now, don't look at me like I got seven heads. This is what the truth is in this. I'm not saying the more you walk in the maturity, you realize you need to. As you realize you need to, you will begin to want to more. But sometimes it's just, I know that I need to do this, so I'm going to do this. And we begin to do these things because in this place that I find myself in, again, and there's no simple answer. Do you know that there's no A, B, C, D, and you're going to be good? I really wish there was. It's a process. It's a walking through. But one of the things for me, I got to stay on track. Hallelujah. Okay, so you got your Bibles with you. We're going to go, let's just stay on track, Rod. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to go verse 1, Matthew chapter 4. Why don't, instead of we go to Matthew chapter 4, why don't we go over, like I said, to Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Somebody start praying for him. Okay, so Mark chapter 4. And verses 1 to 9. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat down on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on a stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop. But other seeds fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. If you go over to verse 13 here, Jesus begins to explain it to his disciples. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a moment. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, as those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. The context of this scripture and the Son of Jesus is talking about the fact of those that, it's talking about salvation. It's talking about having this connection with God. But salvation is much more than just a ticket to heaven. Come on, that was a good way to say amen. Salvation is much more than a ticket to heaven. Amen. Salvation it is the starting gun of becoming more like Christ. It's becoming like him. It is maturity. It is a word that is so very important. You hear it all the time right now. Wholeness. Right? That is what salvation is. It is wholeness. And it is us. We are declared to be saved, but we are also then on this journey of becoming whole and becoming like him. And so what I want to show you, I want to talk to you about is these four soils, that represent our soul. It's basically looking at the things that are in our lives and what really needs to go so that we can become this good soil that we already declared we are, but that we are working towards, right? You get that? Yep. That's good? Okay, so number one, it is the hard, compacted soil. So this compacted soil, it's called in scripture, it's called the wayside. This is, if you think about it, I shared a little bit of it on Friday night. It is the fact of, if you've ever seen a really, like a field and there's grass growing everywhere, but these pathways, there's not anything at all. There's no grass at all on them. It's because they've been compacted. They've been walked on constantly back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the ground is not able to even receive any seed. And anything that is underneath the ground can't get up and produce life. It can't get to the light. This particular soil, again, in references, Jesus is talking about the ground that has been walked on. In Israel's fertile land, they had these walking paths that they would go on. So they were very familiar with what this is. But let's look at the phrase wayside, which again means that the ground that has been walked on. Life's difficulties, disappointments can cause hardness of heart, a place of no growth. Often this place doesn't come by one instance or one circumstances, but continually overwhelmed and continually compacting, pushing down by the weight and the burdens of life. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's times, and you've seen it, that you've had seasons where it's just everything is just going awesome and amazing. And there are times when it feels like you're just a punching bag. Just me? In this season right now, and in many different seasons of our lives, there is this sense of this hardness. But this might make you mad. Okay, so just hold on for a second here. Don't get up and leave, even if you have to use the bathroom, because then I'll think you're mad. Okay, I'm just kidding. Okay, so it is so essential to avoid this hard, becoming this compacted ground. The truth is, difficulties don't have to harden us. You say, Pastor Rod, you don't know what mine are. I am not going to stand here and list mine. But I tell you, what I've recognized is they don't have to harden me. They have. There are things that have happened within that, but they don't have to harden me. So how is it? It's so important to bring and release. Now, I'm going to read what I wrote so I don't forget the wording of it. It's important to bring and release our difficulties, our burdens to the Lord. If we focus on them, we maintain their life. I say it again. It's important to bring and release our difficulties, our burdens to the Lord. If we focus on them, we maintain their life. By repeatedly speaking of them, they will cause the hardness of our heart. It's not necessarily the experience. It is the repeating of it over and over. It is the mulling over and over. It is the meditating upon those things that causes the hardness of heart. If we want to remember someone, we constantly talk about them. We keep them in front. So I'll give you an example. We make sure that there's something there that we're always being able to remember them if we want to remember someone. I love going into my little shop that I built, and I've got these tools on the wall, and one of them, I probably should have fixed it by now, but the handle, and some of you have already heard this story, but the handle continuously reminds me of Glenn. It is Glenn's tool. It is Glenn's clamp that he had, okay, in there, Glenn Bellow. And at the handle, there is this screw that goes through the handle and out the other side. So when you forget and you grab a hold of it, you are reminded of Glenn in that moment, okay? And then in that moment too, I pray for his family then in those times. But I always could see that, I don't know whether this happens or not, but I could see Glenn in heaven going, just having a real kick out of it, got him again, you know, in that. But you see, it brings to mind, it brings it up, but it's the same thing that begins to happen with the difficulties in our life. And there is a moment where we go and we get help and we get therapy and we talk about it. I have been there. I have needed to go and just get it out. But then I don't have to walk to the next person and get it out with you, and then the next person and get it out with you, and then the next person and get it out with you, and then the next person and get it out with you, because what I'm doing is I am reinforcing the situation, and my heart is becoming hard. One of the most difficult, let me just read this. Some results, I will keep the difficulty alive when this happens. The problem is feeding the difficulty sucks the life out of us. It hardens our heart. It causes us to expect the worst, to expect once again to be walked on. But how do I soften and prepare my hardened, compacted ground? Here's the thing I want you to remember. As God begins to sift me, and he begins to break up this ground, and I say, Lord, I want this ground broken up. It is not a sign of failure. It is actually a sign of maturity. That when I say to the Lord, I need you to break up this ground, I am willing for you to break up this ground. I am willing. It's going to be hard. It's going to hurt. There's going to be difficulty in the midst of it. But when he begins to do this work, it is not again a sign of failure. It is a sign of maturity. In the natural, it depends on how, if you look at the hardened ground, it depends on how deep and compacted the cap is. If it's hardened, if the cap is really, really hardened over the soil, then you've got to get in and you've got to dig it all up within there. But if it's just simply just had a little bit of a cap, do you know how they fix that? They saturate it with water. And I don't mean the fact that they just do a little bit of sprinkling on it. They saturate it and they saturate it and they saturate it. You know the scripture that I'm referring to when I talk about the fact of the former and the latter rain. The former rain was specifically in the time for Israel so that their ground could be saturated. So the ground that got all hard over the summer and got difficult and was just like, it was just not good for planting in, that ground would soften up the ground and make it ready to receive the seed. Do you know that truth will change you? Come on now, truth will change you, right? But the truth that will change you is the truth that gets into you. But if we are hardened in these situations, that truth comes and it bounces right off of us. Have you ever been there? Where someone's speaking the truth and you just can't hear it. Come on now, right? They're speaking the truth. Or have you been the other way around where you're speaking the truth in love to somebody? And I'm talking truly in love, not just because you think you're supposed to tell everybody what they're doing wrong. I'm talking about you really truly are speaking in love and you're looking going, they're not getting it because the cap is too hard. And there needs to be this process then with you and God of beginning to dig and to get down to healing in the midst of that. And I said, did you notice that I said with you and God? And with you and possibly in a therapist or you in a ministry, those things have got to happen. If you think you are above that, you're headed for trouble. You say, well, I don't need all that business. I don't need this stuff. We have to have a heart that says, I'm not saying that everybody has to go to a therapist. For me, it's helpful at different times in my life when I've been able to go and get ministry. To go get Theophostic ministry or to go get Sozo ministry or whatever it would be. But if I think I could just do it on my own, that's not how we do life. That's not how we change. We need each other and we need help to break up this kind of ground. Amen? Here's the thing. Let's go. Oh, you know what? Let's go on because our time is already going this morning. Go on. Stony, shallow soil. I'm always amazed that as a farmer, the farmer's field, I did not grow up on a farm. In fact, when I met Karen, she brought me home, and I don't know. I don't think I was wearing my pink cardigan at that time. But my father-in-law now looked at me and was like, whoo, gonna be a journey, I'm sure, you know, in this, because I would get close to the barn. Okay, I would get close. I'm not saying I was in the barn yet. I would get close to the barn. I'd be over in the corner throwing up outside because I couldn't get close to the barn. I mean, I was like, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to get through. I'm a man. I'm strong. And it was just, it was not happening. And yet in the midst of this, I looked, and so we would go and he would get us out and we were haying and we were doing all these things that I had never done before. But one thing that confused me so bad was rock picking. Anybody picked rocks before in the field? I don't understand it, okay, in there at the time. You're like, what are we doing? And how did they come back? We got them all. And the next year, they turn around and we go in the field. And I'm serious. You'd get them all, and I would be visiting, or I'd be over there, and I would see this rock that was this big, okay, in there. And it was coming. I'm like, I know I went through that field the last time. I know we got all these rocks in it. But then this big old, you're like, where in the, somebody's creeping into our fields and putting rocks in there. I'm telling you right now. Because I would just look at this stuff. This doesn't make any sense. But see, under the pressure, and under the season and everything, these rocks would start to come up. And this stony ground, what it's simply referring to is there's no, where that stone is, there's no soil. And that in this stony ground, we see that they cannot place their roots down in very deep because it's so stony. And they begin to grow up, but very quickly they are scorched by the sun because they have no root system in there. Simply put, in this particular scenario, the rocks are taking up space that soil should be in. And if we know scripture and you read, you'll see here Acts 24 and 16, write this scripture down. It's surprising. And herein do I exercise myself. In other words, that I work, I discipline at these things to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. See, this is the essential in the soil, to have this fertile soil that's ready to receive the truth, that's ready to mature, that's ready to grow. We got to get rid of these rocks of offenses. We got to get rid of them. They've got to go. And sometimes the offense is with God. You'd be like, whoa, okay, what do you mean, offenses with God? Sometimes we can get angry in situations. I don't understand why this has happened, and I don't understand why that's happened, and I don't understand why that's happened. And we begin to, in our hearts, because maybe they are hardened, or maybe this just all of these stones, and we begin to blame God for the situation. But there are things in life that happen that God did not intend them to happen, but we have got to get them out of our conscience. We've got to get them out of our life. We've got to get them out of our focus. If you find yourself, see, here's what it is. If I would have been in that field, and I'd have saw this, my father-in-law, and I would have saw this big rock over there, and if I'd have just went, I am not picking that one up. Nobody will even see it. And I would have covered it over, maybe stomped on it a bit, covered it over with dirt. Looks good. And then we come over and we start planting. And we get out there, and we hit the big rock. Whoo! Because all of a sudden, that machinery that costs thousands of dollars is going to be bent. It's going to have a problem. And then I'm going to have a problem. Because all I did was kick their dirt over it. In these seasons we're in right now, you'll find that people are tripping over our dirt-covered rocks. And I'm like, God, okay, Lord. But Lord, you don't know what they did. You ever said that to God? Maybe you're smarter than me. But Lord, this is what happened. But Lord, this, I didn't think it was going to happen this way. Lord, I didn't. Lord, don't you see? Don't you see? Don't you see? And yet, he sees all of this. And for us, it's a matter of offense will cause you to have shallow roots, unable, listen to me, unable to survive when storms come. Jeremiah 12 and 2 says this, you have planted them and they have taken root. They grow and they bear fruit. But if our soil of our hearts, this is me, if the soil of our hearts are stony, filled with offense, they will try and try, but our roots will just not be able to grow down deep. So how do we do this? How do we get there through this? One of the books that I had about 3 months ago, I began to look at again, is The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. If you want to go through a book that you're going to help you walk through, he's got a brand new one. It's got declarations filled all throughout it. It's a new, I think, 25th anniversary one or something along those lines. But to be able to go, you know what? There's work to get rid of offense. Here's what we want to do to get rid of offense. Would you pray for me because I'm offended with somebody? Now, there's nothing wrong with getting prayer so that you can do the right thing to get help. But getting rid of offenses takes work. Look at me for just for a second. It takes work. In fact, it will take forgiveness like you've never had to walk through before. It will take blessing them with a heart that does not need an apology. Think about that for a second. It also will require forgiveness and blessing when you don't even see change. Because the forgiveness isn't about them. It's about you. The forgiveness isn't even for them. It's for you. It's to release you. But if we sit there waiting for them to change so that they could become worthy of our forgiveness, how does that relate to God's way of forgiving us? I am so unworthy of all his forgiveness. But this is a step that is essential. It is a step of looking at tenderheartedness. Ephesians chapter 4, 31 to 32. Get rid of all bitterness. Whoo. Everybody say, whoo. There you go. See, you're going to be just like Pastor Rod in a minute. Here we go. Rage and anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And then it says this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. That tenderheartedness is essential in the midst of it. And there is a season to get rid of these stones, these massive stones. There sometimes has to be a season of repentance upon ourselves. Repentance, we have to repent. And you say, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Why am I repenting? What I repent of in those moments is for that I held onto it for so long and I would not let it go. I repent because I wanted to do it my way, God, in the midst of this. But my repentance, what it brings is something absolutely amazing, is it brings refreshing. Repentance with God in the midst of these things brings such incredible refreshing, and it begins to move these offenses out to the point where you can stand in front of somebody that deeply hurt you, and you can love them, and you can encourage them, you can bless them, and you can talk well of them to others. It is absolutely life-giving. And so this is what I'm saying with us and walking in maturity. We have to begin to do this. The Psalm 80, verse 7 to 9 says, restore us, O God, make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. And you planted a vine from Egypt. You drove out all the nations and planted it. And I hear these words, and cleared the ground for it. It is essential that we clear the ground for God's truth that is coming our way. The thorny ground is something that you're talking about, the cares of our lives and all of these things that are in there, that sometimes what happens in the midst of this is that we forget that our responsibility as Christians is to do Matthew 6 and 33. If you're looking for a verse to memorize, memorize this one, because it says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Matthew 22, 37 and 40 says this, says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your mind, and all your strength. In this. And it's talking about the fact in these times that our strength goes towards loving God and not towards holding on to these offenses or the struggles that we find in life. To retain burdens, listen to me just for a second, and I hope you're feeling this in the right way. I can see we're getting a little quiet today with me in this. I'm just wrapping this up. I'm going to come to the end of this. But here's one of the things that to me is a thorn. A retained burden becomes a thorn. I'll show you what I mean. When I go through something, when there's a difficulty, if I hold on to it, it becomes a lifestyle of worry. Do you know that worry produces sick soil? Now, don't put up your hand, but do you struggle with worry? In those moments, sometimes, and we can say, oh, not me. And yet sometimes if we really were honest with each other, we realize, boy, that's worry, isn't it? Because I've stopped trusting God in the midst of this. I have decided that I'm on my own and I have to solve this myself. Our frontal brain would never admit to that, but our actions show it. And I am number one in this. And I'm saying, Lord, my soil has got to become refreshed. I've got to stop the worry. Are you with me? Come on now, are you with me? Yeah. Worry is something where we put it aside and we say, God, I'm going to trust you, even if it looks as bad as it does, because you have an amazing plan for me. Stand up with me this morning. The good soil is this. Good soil is amazing. The good soil has deep roots, has the ability to nourish these roots. This is what it's like when we have deep roots. And I tell you, look around you right now. The people around you need you to have deep roots. Come on now, we need each other. Do you know that when a soil is really, really good and it takes in the water, that the soil actually shares when it gets enough, it passes the water on to somebody else. Now, something else really is what that is. That it begins to share. It's called transpiration. I got that word wrong. Transpiration, there it is. this water redistribution. When the soil has enough, there's enough to pass on to the next soil that is around it. When the plant has got enough, do you know that 90% of the water that a plant takes in goes out of it and gets evaporated? And it begins to bring life to those things that are around it as well. This is who we are, that when we are steady, when our roots are deep, in the midst of the storms, we are steady. We draw from deep waters, sources that even in the driest season, that we can still begin to drink of his presence, that we begin to grow fruit. So just close your eyes just for a second. And this maybe was a bit longer this morning than I had anticipated. But maybe today you're going, man, my ground has been so, so compacted. I didn't realize it. So compacted. The truth is just bouncing right off of me right now. And so you say, Lord, I want to receive your truth because I want to grow. I declare that I will be different 5 years from now. If that's you, say it with me. I declare that I will be different 5 years from now. And Lord, I declare even more specific that I will be more like you in 5 years from now. And so God, oh, shakarararabasa, that I will be more like you in 5 years from now. And God, I declare that the soil of my heart, the soil of my life, I give you permission to dig it up. I give you permission, Lord, to dig it up. That you will begin to saturate my soul with times of wonderful times of your presence, privately and corporately. I declare that when I come into a worship service, that Lord, my heart will be to run after you, and that my praise will be strong, and that I am gonna run after you, Lord. I declare that if there's any rock of offenses that I still didn't realize that were there, that Lord, I ask you to help me to begin to forgive, to help me to release this, because I want to have more room for healthy soil in my life. And all these thorns, which are worry and fears and so many other things, that God, I declare that I trust you. Come on, are you with me? I declare, Lord, that I trust you. I trust you, Lord, in the midst of everything. And that, Father, I want to go on a journey of becoming more like you, of walking in maturity that has nothing to do with my age. I declare that our children around us right now, that they will become so mature in you that they will shock us and cause us to run towards you for our maturity, Lord. I declare that those young adults, and I've been seeing this for a long time, that the young adults in our assembly, they are going to begin to lead. We are going to begin to see them in their lives lead in maturity. They are going to lead in maturity, that we are going to look over and see them and be in awe and wonder and want that in our lives. I thank you that they are going to run after you with everything they have, Lord, and everything you are in them, that they will be viciously getting rid of all of these stones, these offenses, these things that cause the ground to be filled with something less than good soil. And that we together, we will see that a world around us, that they will run to us and go, with the midst of all of the storms you've been through, how in the world are you like you are? And we will point them to you, Lord, and the maturity that you've brought into our lives and the good ground that you have cultivated in us, ready for your truth in every season. In your name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.